Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're continuing our expectations series today with a couple of players, one offense, one defense, as always. Rashad Nichols from the defense and Ronnie Stanley on the offense. And here to talk to me about those players is Childs Walker of the Baltimore Sun. Childs, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Thanks for having me back.
We're just talking beforehand about how we are just right. This is a tube ride for the Baltimore Ravens right now in terms of riding the wave of the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. as you alluded to, I've been doing a little more baseball writing this year, and that's a lot of fun with this team. I mean, and you feel the whole city is obviously engaged with what they're doing, and it seems like it could go. That seems like that tube ride could go a long way. So it's exciting.
The news just broke about the blue T. Rowe Price emblems. What any personal feelings about that? Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, or detracts in any way?
You know, I guess I accepted a long time ago that this is the way of sports. I mean, this is the way of modern professional sports. I mean, if there's a revenue stream to be exploited, it is likely going to be exploited at some point. So I don't get too stirred up about these things. Would I love it if the name of the ballpark never changed and the uniforms remain classically unmarred? I mean, sure, but you know, if they're getting millions of dollars for wearing a patch, you know, it's hard to argue too much with that. I mean, you know, I saw some complaining about the aesthetic of the blue on the orange and black uniform, which I suppose is not ideal, but you know, I mean, we see it all over sports. You know, you see it. You certainly see it in the, you know, Premier League, all over European soccer. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, so it's just, I don't think any of us will much notice it after a couple of weeks. So you know, I don't I don't worry too much about it.
that's my feeling as well. It's good that it's a big company, T. Rowe Price, obviously a big Baltimore company, which is also good. Baltimore needs to maintain its big companies in town, and having this kind of relationship with the Orioles, I think, is a good one, and very positive about it. And again, if it gives the Orioles a third of the money, and it might be all of the money necessary to keep Gunnar Henderson in town on an annual basis, I'm all for it.
And as they made very clear, you know, even with new ownership, I mean, you know, they're still the sort of franchise that is going to need to squeeze revenue out wherever they can find it. So, I mean, that's just the reality that they live in. So, yeah.
All right. Well, good enough. It's enough on the Orioles. Let's move on. And we've done this in the it's usually a balanced slate. So there's usually a lesser player and a greater player. And Rashad Nichols is a tier three player and Ronnie Stanley's a tier one. So we'll start with Rashad. Who's a 2022 UDFA from Stephen F. Austin. Did get that one practice squad elevation in 2022, but he still got that one next to his years of service, which means he still remains a first-year player for purposes of working towards free agency.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly have a contrast in, you know, how fascinating these two players are. I mean, there's probably not a lot of Ravens fans out there who are hanging on what happens with Rashad Nichols this summer. That's just kind of the reality of it. You know, I do think there was some excitement about his upside when they signed him as an undrafted player. He had a very good last season at Stephen F. Austin. There was a feeling he might have a little pass rush juice. And I think there was even some feeling going into last summer that if he really impressed, maybe he could push for a roster spot. I mean, he was always on the outside looking in. I don't think that really happened. I think he really kind of finished last year where he started his first year. And I mean, that's probably not where you want to be if you're a guy in his position. And so he's definitely on the outside looking in this summer. It's obviously a position group where you have a lot of players who are very much locked into their roles. You know, you would think that if they really thought that Nichols could push for a roster shot, maybe you don't bring Brent Urban back. But I mean, they continue to bring Brent Urban back because he's a guy they trust. And, you know, you don't get the sense that they have that level of trust in the guys coming up behind him. So, you know, it's a very much an uphill battle for Nichols.
It's in football. Very commonly, the first opportunity for a player on the fringe of an NFL roster comes due to injury. And the Ravens defensive line was the healthiest unit in team history last year. They had all five guys take every single snap the entire year with no deviation. It's an unreal year by NFL standards in terms of what's happened. And I think literally for any position group in Ravens history, any position group, I think it might be the most healthy year, definitely for the defensive line, where the Ravens have had, you know, injuries over the year, and they've done very well with rotational scheme to get new players in. But that didn't create opportunity, obviously, for Rashad. He stayed at the top of their practice squad. I think if you're looking at how valuable he is to the Ravens, I think he's still, they didn't draft a defensive lineman,
right,
which kind of indicates a certain confidence in Rashad being the sixth man still.
Well, yes, although, I mean, you can also wonder, you know, was that simply a matter of the way the draft broke too? I mean, no, they didn't feel like they had to draft a defensive lineman, but I think if there had been a defensive lineman they liked at a certain spot, they would have. I mean, I take that as much as a statement of how the draft sort of played out as anything having to do with Rashad Nichols. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, you know, we're talking about health. I mean, he has not been out there for OTAs. You know, we don't know why. That's not something that John Harbaugh has been asked, and not sure if he's dealing with an injury situation, not suggesting that it's anything that would, you know, carry into training camp or anything like that. I, you know, no reason to think that, but, you know, he's not out there right now getting to sort of, you know, make his case or start making his case, which obviously doesn't help him. I mean, you know, if you're Justin Matabike, it doesn't matter if you're not out there for OTAs, but if you're Rashad Nichols, it probably does a little bit. So, I mean, that's not helping him either, but yes, no, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, you know, based on what they didn't do at that position group in the offseason, he likely goes into this summer in much the same position that he did last year.
I've got a little more evidence to add to the pot. It wasn't just that one thing that I'm doing in terms of draft pick, but I was going to hopefully you'd lay on a couple of extra points there. But the two extra things are, one, he was one of the first wave of the futures deals for 2024. And if you don't know how the fringe of the NFL works, there's a bunch of guys who get signed to futures deals at the end of the season. And then there's a bunch of guys who include some young players who don't necessarily get signed. And they're in this limbo after 1 year. Jeremy Lucien was such a player this year, for example, who's been on this show. So there are players like that who are, they don't know where they are. And Lucien, a guy I believe fits the Ravens pretty well as a cover two safety guy. The fact that Rashad Nichols is ahead of him in terms of signing is a good thing. I think they liked what they had out on him on the practice squad last year, but I think they really, really liked what they saw from him in the 2022 preseason when he was terrific. And just outstanding. 8 defensive stops, had a bunch of pass rush events and whatnot. And a lot of it is playing the second half of those games. So, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Still very effective.
No, but you raise a good point. As I sort of alluded to in my opening comments, he's a player where there was some real excitement around him in 2022. I did not hear that as much last year. And so it does make you wonder, is this maybe the final year of this situation where they're happy to have him on the practice squad, happy to have him be their first option if someone does get hurt. But he needs to show them something to become a real part of their plans.
Yeah. I think that's very reasonable. There's very, very few players who stay around for more than 2 years
right.
on a practice. It's extremely rare. So this is already his third.
Right.
And if he's on the practice squad again, I think I would wholly agree with that. He's a primary three tech guy. I know there's talk that he could play at nose. He's really be undersized for that. So he's got to be a 3-5 guy to really bring the versatility that you would want into the rotation. Now, fortunately, the Ravens have two big-time nose tackles on this team, and they're really worrying about how can they get Travis Jones 3-tech snaps, or at least they should be worrying about that.
Yeah.
But in Rick Nichols' chance to replace somebody, he would be replacing Broderick Washington or perhaps Urban as a guy who would take some of that rotational load if something were to occur.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right.
All right, what does a good season look like for Rashad Nichols?
A good season for Rashad Nichols probably means bad luck for somebody else, because that probably means that there is an injury, that they are dealing with a health situation, which, as you alluded to, that was a position group they simply didn't have to worry about last year. So, it's probably you start the season on the practice squad. Somebody goes down at some point. You have to step in for 3 or 4 games and you hold your own as a rotational, defensive tackle. And that would be a very good thing for them. That would give him a future, which is right now his future is cloudy.
Yeah. I have almost exactly the same thing. A good season, bad for the Ravens. He's activated 2 to 3 times from the practice squad. I don't even think he needs to get on the roster to be at the 60th percentile where I do. I think 60% of the time he never sees he does not make it to the roster at least. But if he was active for 2 or 3 games and he filled in above the replacement level, doesn't need to be a league average player, just above the replacement level, I think the Ravens would be very happy with it. And I think it would probably extend Rashad Nichols' ability to get an NFL job somewhere in 2025.
Yep. Great.
How about a great year?
Oh, a great year. It's extending the same scenario, right? It's you're dealing with a more serious injury. He is not only an above replacement level player in those 2 or 3 opportunities, he is a guy who makes actual plays and forces them to say, okay, well, this guy needs to be in the 53. And, he's suddenly really in the defensive line rotation. And, you start to talk about him as a player who could, fight for snaps in a subsequent season. I mean, that's, it's sort of the B plus version of what we were just talking about, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I said it differently, but I think given hearing yours, I like yours a little bit better. Elevated to the 53 due to circumstance, has a rotational trial by fire for 4+ games, plays at or near the league average for an IDL. Play keeps him in the Ravens' plans for 2025. In truth, I think if you want to attach two names to being the plans for 2025, they are Brandon Williams and Brent Urban. If he can replace either of those guys, now Washington, sorry, I said Brandon Williams, Broderick Washington.
That's okay.
Broderick Washington is a guy who they have a $900,000 savings, which is essentially no savings at all. because the guy you replace with for that $900,000 has to earn that little. And the only player who could earn that little is probably Rashad Nichols.
Or
another UDFA lineman. And Urban is getting towards the end of a very good career, but he had one of his best years last year. I mean, he was just terrific in terms of doing the things they needed him to do to deny space and to make some plays in the pass rush game, particularly in that San Francisco game. Rashad Nichols, if he could do that and force himself into the discussion for 25, I think that'd be great. So I like the way you said it.
Yep.
All right, let's keep rolling. Talk about Ronnie Stanley a little bit. 30 years old now, entering his ninth season in the league. It just those numbers keep going up. It's terrible. You know, I'm 61 and entering my I don't even know whatever year of whatever, but I'm getting older too. But he's one of the most important Ravens for them to keep on the field. While there are other options, I don't think there are other good options behind Ronnie Stanley at left tackle.
Yeah, I think he is one of the most important players on the roster going into the season. I think he's one of the most fascinating players on the roster going into the season. I mean, you know, to peel back the curtain a little bit, you give us choices of pairings that we're interested in talking about. And I picked this was on my list that I sent you because I am fascinated by Ronnie Stanley going into the season. And it's both levels. It's what he means to the team, and his individual situation is really interesting because the salary situation. I mean, he took a substantial pay cut for this year, sets himself up to be a free agent. You know, has all the incentive in the world to get the most that he possibly can out of this season, and we've already seen a dedication in OTAs that certainly catches the eye. I mean, he's been there for every session. He looks very. He looks very lean. He's moving well. I mean, he's not just there. He's participating, in pretty much every rep that you would expect him to participate in. He is taking, I think, an apparent leadership role with a fairly young offensive line group where, I mean, he's often the one sort of leading them to the next phase of drills. And you see little details like that. And, there was a play the other day that a lot of people who were there wrote about. It was a fun play where, he picked up a loose ball and ran with it. And, he did a little spin move and, it was sort of showing his, not only his dexterity, but his enthusiasm. I mean, so you are seeing a real, I think, a sense from him. And we haven't talked to him yet. I think there's a good chance we're going to talk to him this week during mandatory minicamp. So we haven't sort of heard his take on everything that's happened with him this offseason, but just watching him, I mean, he understands how important a season this is for him, how important he is to the team, and he seems to be taking that very seriously.
Yeah, this is certainly a crossroads season for him. You mentioned the deal being restructured. Effectively, he's done with the Ravens after 2024, and I think it's actually going to be quite difficult for the team to re-sign him. But if you look at the two paths this could take broadly, he could play poorly or continue to be injured, in which case I think the chance he retires is pretty high because he won't have a lot of good options with other teams. Any other team he's starting with, they'll start over. I am skeptical that if he has an injured season here, there's a one-year deal for him with the Ravens that would make sense for both sides. It could make sense, but I think it's unlikely. And then if he plays well, he probably signs somewhere else for some decent money. And I don't think the Ravens will be in a position to compete for certainly a high end left tackle money. But they will have a head start on negotiating with him during the year is the one kind of glimmer of light through this.
No, that's right. But I mean, it's about as wide a spectrum as you can have for a player of his status going into a season. I mean, you're absolutely right. It could be the beginning of the end, or it could be a new beginning, right? Yeah. I mean, that's and we see this every once in a while with a player of his caliber. I mean, God, he's just had a tortured existence since he had that great 2019 season and he signed that deal. I mean, last year was really tough on him because I mean he went in. It's his first genuinely healthy offseason in 4 years. Was feeling as optimistic as could be, going into week one. And then immediately he's dealing with an injury again, and then had another injury later in the year. And I mean, you grade the offensive line as carefully as anyone. Yeah. I mean, those those first games back from injury, I mean, he just was not up to his standard. And, you know, he was able to figure it out and have some solid games along the way. Ultimately did start 13 games. So, I mean, I think he gave it what he could give it, but I mean, he would be the first to say, I think that a lot of last year was not up to his standard. John Harbaugh said that pretty frankly at one point that, you know, he was really sort of struggling to regain his range of motion, his technique. I mean, you know, this was a very fluid technical player at his peak. And so it was rough. So, I mean, it's, you know, again, it's all on the table for him one way or another.
I want to talk a little bit about the grading, but I'm going to come back to it because I want to address first what you just talked about there. There are elements of that fluidity I don't believe we're ever going to see again. And Ronnie Stanley, the truly mobile level 2 and level 3 run blocker, the guy who could make all kinds of blocks behind on the backside of a run play, which, by the way, very hard for a tackle to do. Tackles in my system pile up tons of missed blocks when the play is going the other way and they can't get down to space to make a play. They're too slow. They can't get it done. Ronnie Stanley was great. And he would move out to level 2, level 3, pick up whoever he could. And that's the thing that turns 10-yard runs into 50-yard runs. I mean, those are important blocks still. And I'm afraid we're never going to see that again. He's okay as a puller. He was not, frankly, as good as Morgan Moses in terms of finding a guy. And some of that is his own mobility really being a concern. And maybe some of it's also concern for where his feet are as he pulls as well and being a little more tentative.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In terms of that, whereas Moses, you know, he really seemed to know what he's doing every single time he pulled. But, you know, I don't think it's reasonable to get that part of Ronnie back. And yet I do think it's reasonable that Ronnie could be the pass blocker he was in those last four games.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I thought in the games that he played in 2022, he was a very good pass blocker. I mean, I don't think he was, again, don't think he was all the way back to 2019 as an all-around tackle. But, I mean, he was certainly somebody you were very comfortable with out there protecting Lamar. And, you know, if you got that player this year, I think they'd be thrilled.
Right. I agree. And I think that you know, even a return anywhere between 22 and 19, I would take. We can't have another 23. I mean, it'll be the end of his career if it is. And I know PFF was a lot more generous in terms of their grading. I want to talk about some differences of opinion that I have with that. But he went from one penalty in 2022 to 10 in 2023, which was huge. 90 yards of penalties. It's just a very significant problem. And it's something Stanley has not had a regular problem with over his career. His per snap penalties have always been pretty reasonable until this last year.
Yeah, and I talked to him about that toward the end of last season when he was struggling. And I mean he freely acknowledged that he just couldn't comfortably make the movements that he was used to making, and that in some ways he was probably overcompensating for that. And I think some of the penalties probably flowed out of that. He just was not a comfortable player for most of last season.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump into some of the scoring, because I want to get into this. So first of all, his overall raw score for the year was 0.63. And to put that in context, it's the worst score of his career by far. 7 points worse than McCary, who was basically right around the league average in terms of his play at both tackle spots, not necessarily left tackle or right tackle, because I didn't separate it for these purposes. And Moses was at 0.77, so he was significantly better despite playing through an injury. But he had a solid B year on the other side. So Ronnie, while he was playing even worse than that prior to the last four games that included both playoff games. And that at least is a small ray of hope I take from this, is that I really saw Ronnie Stanley, who was more forcing the edge of the pocket out further rather than automatically mirroring and trading space for interposition between him and Jackson. That's something that Ronnie Stanley's done very well with, by the way, with his career, but you can't trade that. You can't trade that in all circumstances. You have to make sure you leave enough space in the pocket. And Ronnie allowed a lot more pressures this last year because that didn't work out.
How did you have him graded in that period when he came back from the first injury? When he came back the first time, I know he played really poorly his first game back, but then I think there was a feeling with the team at least that he was pretty solid in the three or four games after that before he got hurt again. How did you – do you recall how you had him graded
window? I've got it in front of me here. Yeah. So his grades for the year, the easiest way for just me to convert it to a letter grade here, even though I've got a lot more detail underneath that.
Yeah.
But versus the Houston, in the Houston game, he got a D, and then he was out for three games and then came back F, C, D, D, B minus, C, missed the Cincinnati game, F against the LA Chargers. That was a game we had allowed 5.5 pressures and had 15 yards of penalties. Then the LA Rams a C, then two more Fs against Jacksonville and San Francisco, despite the fact that obviously they won those games and they were big games.
Yeah.
And then the last four games of the year, I flipped it. And Miami an A, Pittsburgh a C, Houston an A in the playoffs, and then Kansas City a B+. So a very good finish to the year.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean that when you read all this out, I mean that tells you, I mean, even his better games in that earlier phase were just sort of okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that is honestly the way I see it. I mentioned the 0.63 score. If it were one thing, it would be better. It's not one thing, unfortunately. Right. It's a lot of things, and he had missed blocks. I talked about that, unable to make the blocks he would make just with his normal mobility that Ronnie Stanley had at one point. He had 77 of those this year. That cost him 10 points of that 37. So if you're dividing out, how did he lose 37 points out of 100? That's where he lost 10 of them. Penetrations are times where somebody crosses his face on a run play or otherwise penetrates past him on a run play that causes a loss. He had 1.5 of those. That's only minus 1 point. Not that big a deal. Pressures, 28 pressure events as I scored it. I think PFF has a slightly different number. Might even be higher. That's either minus 0.11 or minus 0.12. Quarterback hits, 5.5. That cost him 3 points. And the sacks, PFF has them for 5. I have them for 5 1/12 because I have fractional sacks, of course. And that cost him 5 points. And then the penalties cost him another 7 points. So just looking through this, yeah, the pressures are the biggest thing, and the missed blocks are also a big thing, but it's not any one thing. Yeah. It's a whole bunch of things. It's the penalties. He's given up 5 sacks is not something Ronnie Stanley is supposed to do in a normal year. He's much better than that. So just a very frustrating all-around season. And about the only thing I can point forward to 24 for in a positive light is just how well he played at the end of the season. It really looked like he was a different player there at the end of the year. And I'm hoping one of the reporters asks him that question directly. Like, it looked like you were a different player at the end of the last year. What was different? What felt different in those last 4 games that you played so much better? Kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure. Do you often do a interview series anyway with a player like Ronnie that you're really interested in? If you want to write a feature article on him or something.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that he will be on the podium this week, which will be everybody's chance to sort of get his overall thoughts. But then, yeah, I mean, I think he would be a player. I or one of my colleagues would come back and talk to, in more depth one-on-one sometime during camp to have a more extensive story on him going into the season, because as we said at the top, I think he's one of the most important players on the team. It's a good question. I mean, I have a sense from talking to him last year that he did feel healthier at the end than he had for most of the year. I mean, not fully healthy. I think he would tell you he didn't feel fully healthy in any game after he got hurt right at the beginning, after feeling great in training camp. But I do think he felt like he had enough time that, he wasn't quite so self-conscious about the knee. He was able to make more of the motions that he expected to make without having to think twice or overcompensate. I mean, that's my sense of the answer from having talked to him last year, but we'll see what he says.
All right. Well, very good. The Ravens went on both sides of the tackle, both tackle spots, to this rotational scheme where they got McCary and Fa'alele in the game. I thought it was a little bit interesting. They didn't play those two guys at the same time. So they had staggered entry points for McCary and Fa'alele, so they wouldn't play together. Now, McCary obviously played some full games while Ronnie was out, but, it was not ideal. Just while we're on the topic of Morgan Moses here, he's gone. I was very surprised, in a sense, that they let him go, given he was under contract. Have you gotten any clarity on that from Harbaugh or others? And I know they're not going to badmouth Moses, other than, they're going to say he's a great teammate, a great player, yada, yada. But do you get the sense that they thought the injury that he had was going to be something that he couldn't really recover from in 24?
My sense is that they had concerns about both him and Zeitler from a health standpoint going forward. I was going into the offseason, I didn't necessarily think they'd bring both of those guys back. I did think they'd probably bring one of them back, just for purposes of stability with a team that's expected to contend this season. But yeah, my sense is that a lot of that did come down to worrying about their, whether they would hold up over 17 games, and just sort of a broader sense that it was time to start rebuilding the offensive line with the younger group of players. I mean, and I think they decided to sort of bite the bullet and go into that, fairly whole hog with Ronnie really as the veteran holdover who they need to play well this year.
It's a really interesting situation at tackle. They did end up, I think, reaching at tackle in the second round. I know they probably hate the term. They like, oh no, Rosengarten was worth the 62nd pick or whatnot. Consensus boards didn't have him that high. But I did know that they were going to have to reach at some point to solve what is essentially a left tackle problem. The right tackle problem, I think they can solve it with various solutions that exist around the league. It might be Josh Jones. It could be other players. Could be Rosengarten stays there. It could be they pick up some other veteran. Much, much more difficult to find the proper feet for left tackle to play in the NFL. And that's why that position gets paid so much and is so difficult to see. And the entry to the blind side is actually correct about just how important that position is.
Yeah, and Rosengarten, he's the mobility choice, right? I mean, that mm-hmm. was, you know, you're if you are drafting him where they drafted him, it's because he has that. He may have that upside because of the feet. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we'll see what it looks like this year. I mean, I think they would love it if he, blew him away and seized the right tackle job this year and, you know, essentially had a year or two to audition and give them an idea of, you know, can he be the guy to fill in on the other side? But, you know, that's the upside play there.
In most ways, That decision is on the Ravens. I mean, Rosengarten is going to have his struggles in 2024, no matter what. They're going to put him in at right tackle. They're going to use him on a trial by fire at left tackle, perhaps. But he's going to struggle some because all offensive linemen do. It's very hard to be a good offensive lineman first year in the National Football League. It's really important to me that they see if he can be the guy at left tackle, because that's the guy they burned their one-year transitory option on, their option to solve the problem over the course of 2 years, effectively have something in the 24 draft,
right,
that is actually a 25 solution.
Yeah. And you know, in a short-term sense, I think they're comfortable with McCary. You know, if McCary had to play left tackle for three games, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. But that does not address the issue that you're raising, which is a huge one as we contemplate the team over the next 3-4 years.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Ravens have five players who are primarily tackles right now, and it seems to me like they'll either drop one or they'll reframe careers here for Jones or Fa'alele to be on the inside. But with Rosengarten, McCary, Stanley, Jones, and I just mentioned him, Fa'alele.
Yeah.
That's five guys. It is not typical you carry five tackles, and yet I can see every reason to do it.
Yeah. And as you alluded to, I think with Jones, they probably do see him as an option at multiple spots. You know, so I think that's part of that. Fa'alele, we talked about him in the preview series last year, and that's another fascinating kettle of fish that I'm sure you'll get into with someone else. But you know, I don't know where that one's headed.
Yeah. I mean, he's entering year three. He's still a developmental player. That's not where you want to be.
Right.
So,
it's
Saleh's in a better position, but Saleh's also another guy who in theory could play tackle, did at Oregon, but probably it's hard to see exactly where he's going to play at the NFL. Cause right now it's just not obvious who he'd be able to beat out on the roster.
Yep.
I will ask you about camp here. We're all three of the highest touted guards, meaning Jones, Cleveland, and Voorhees, all at OTA so far?
Yes, okay. They were. And you know, we're not supposed to get into specifically who lined up where with what team for the Ravens rules, but I'll just say there was a lot of moving around and seeing different combinations, and you know, that's something that John Harbaugh has talked about. So that's not a great secret, but I think that's the reality. I think we're going to see a lot of that going into training camp as well. I mean, I don't think they know for sure. There's going to be,
I think we might've talked about this during the regular season last year, but the hoodwinkery with Saleh last year, starting him at OTAs, I'm convinced that was just to motivate John Simpson. Cause I can't understand what otherwise they might've seen. I really can't, not after seeing him play in the preseason.
No, it was that was one of the weirder ones that I've seen in my time of covering the team, because they, if that's what it was and they were selling it, boy, did they sell it well. I mean,
yeah, they did.
They had all of us thinking, I mean, I think we were all surprised that he seemed to be the guy in OTAs, but boy, did they sell it as something they were really considering. But then you're absolutely right. I mean, once we got into the summer, you know, the real preparation, it was very clear that he was not ready to play. And then that was borne out by the fact that he was essentially an automatic inactive for the entire season. So, yeah.
All right, let's get back to Ronnie Stanley. What does a good season look like to you for Ronnie?
Yeah, I think a good season is he starts 12 to 14 games and plays, as you suggested, roughly the level that he played the last four games of last season. I think that's a good season.
Yeah, that would be fantastic in my mind. I have placed 13-plus games, so we're right in the same thing, plus any playoff games. I put that additional condition on it. Health, mobility, and quality of his play are more like the last four games of 2023 than the remainder of the season. Penalties are cut to a league average number. Those are the three things I want.
Yeah.
How about a great year?
I think a great year, he starts 16 games and plays, you know, looks like the best version of himself from 2022, where he's, you know, not an all pro, but, you know, at least maybe sniffing the Pro Bowl again. If he was at the level, I mean, that would be, and obviously that would revive his career. That would make him a lot of money. Would be great for the Ravens in the short term. I think everyone would be delighted with that.
Yeah. And he may not end up in the Ring of Honor if that happens, but that's sometimes the way it breaks. And maybe they get lucky. Maybe they find a middle ground, but very similar. Better health lets him play 16 plus regular season games with increased per snap productivity in the run game and more total pass blocking snaps with results like the end of 2023. An effective Ravens offense puts him back in regular Pro Bowl discussion. No question about the 2024 contract value. And the Ravens find a way to make him part of the 2025 solution at left tackle. And that's the Yo Levin kind of call for that. That's the hope as opposed to the real belief that that will occur. Childs, always a pleasure talking football with you. This is a great thing. We appreciate your inside viewpoints. Tell folks where they can read your stuff, first of all, and also where they can talk football with you online.
Yeah, BaltimoreSun.com is all the stuff, both Ravens and Orioles. At Childs Walker on X or Twitter, if you still call it Twitter. So those are the places to keep track, and you know, there's stuff every week, so we'll keep it coming.
All right, got one more question for you. If you had to over under it in terms of a date, when would you guess Jackson Holliday will be back in the major leagues?
Boy, is that an interesting question. I would say August 1st.
August 1st. Okay, I think that's a pretty good bet there. I think that's a pretty good bet. He's hit walking a lot down there, and boy, the Orioles could really use a few walks in this home run laden lineup.
I mean, that was the thing that was so tantalizing about him when he came up the first time, right? Is that he seemed to be exactly what they needed. I mean, it was such a powerful lineup, but they just don't. I mean, Gunner is becoming a genuine table setter a lot of time because people are pitching him carefully, and he is taking advantage of that by being on base more. I mean, you know, we're seeing him. I mean, he scored three runs again today, and I mean, obviously, some of that was with power, but I mean, he's doing his leadoff man thing too, but they just don't have a lot of guys with that skill set, and Holliday is that. So that's still the great exciting possibility out there.
Yep. Looking forward to it. Other folks out there, if you're interested in doing a film study short with me, it can be a recollections short if you like, or something else you'd like to do in preparation for the start of camp. I'm going to do a series on the Ravens' biggest questions entering camp. If you'd like to do one, or you have a question that you think dominates what the Ravens ought to be thinking about right now, happy to talk about with you. DMs are always open on Twitter. Hit me up and I'll be in contact with you very quickly about recording a show. Childs, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Ken, and I'm sure we'll talk later in the year.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.